There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me. Engage.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast where we learn yet again that John does not read. And joining me, as always, is Lee. Lee, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And John, there are a lot of really good things you should be reading. You should.
Well,
because at some point, John, at some point you're going to need to read important things.
Yeah. Like what? Like name one thing, Lee. One thing that I should
know,
be reading.
Like, you know, your, I don't know, your insurance, a will, your insurance policy. That thing that your wife just said, no, honey, just sign it. I just
sign whatever comes in front of my face. What is that wrong? Is that the thing that I'm not supposed to do?
But I will also say that I think it's also, but it's really funny too, because I think one of the things that is going on is there is not enough reading, but our person that we're going to have here today is trying to get you to start early. So we have Melissa, who is the YA Lit Director. Hi, Melissa.
Hey guys, how's it going?
All right.
Melissa has a lot of background noise.
I was going to say, she has some construction going on. It's mostly kids and dogs.
And she also, no, it's fine. She also has her own little young adult lit readers. So that's what you're also may hear as well. So yay.
Yeah, now, hopefully Melissa, Dad's taking them out. So we'll see.
So we have it. Your kid, what are they reading right now?
So right now, my kids are 6 and 4, so right. They're not quite yet old enough for young adult lit by nature,
nope.
But actually, despite that, my kids really do love Harry Potter. We started reading Harry Potter to them when they were probably like 2 or 3, just, you know, the first couple of books, which are pretty, you know, tame at bedtime. And so now they themselves have become pretty big Harry Potter fans.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think, let's see, Aiden's right now, his big thing is Captain Underpants, you know, can't go wrong.
You know what? There is nothing wrong. If you start, somebody said this, like, oh my God, I hate Captain Underpants. I'm like, Captain Underpants at least uses correct English. I have no problem with Captain Underpants.
Yeah.
I would rather watch Captain Underpants, read Captain Underpants than some of the Junie B. Joneses. So, hey.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
sorry.
My gosh.
I remember those from the, so yay, Captain Underpants.
I love
Captain
Underpants. Yeah. Awesome. And Olivia, she's sort of into, I got her this book of fairy tales, so she's interested in reading that. And then last Dragon Con, I actually got her one of Alethea Contes's alphabet books, that's sort of in backwards order. And she really loves that book too. And that's great. And actually, Alethea's going to be back at Con this year, so I'm hoping she'll have an extra kids book for me this year.
Yay! That's awesome. Oh, I'm glad she's liking those. I've heard really good things about them.
Yeah, she loves them. They're fun. And, you know, they're different takes on the alphabet. It's not always A's, apple type things. So that's always nice.
Yes. Very good. Very good. So awesome.
So since we're on the topic, because we're having this podcast, which is what this topic is about. I don't know what I'm talking about at this point. What is young adult lit? What does it cover? What are we talking about there?
Okay, so young adult lit is sort of roughly defined as age 15 through early 20s.
Hmm.
Obviously, we have readers that are younger than that, and obviously we have readers that are older than that, but that is just sort of the like broad definition. Most of the things that you can use to identify young adult lit are going to be a teen protagonist. That's really the biggest thing, a teen or early college, but mostly teen, high school age protagonist.
So if we're talking, to put this in books, in movies, recent movies that have maybe come out, something like The Maze Runner and A Wrinkle in Time, actually, I would think is young adult.
Yep, and we're actually talking about Wrinkle in Time this year, actually.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, cool.
And also like the Hunger Games books, things like that are what you're more looking at. So for this, right?
Hunger Games, which are Harry Potter,
that adults can enjoy as well. Trust us.
All. Yes, absolutely. And in fact, a book that I think is sort of a controversial quote unquote YA book would be Ready Player One. That book is actually a teen protagonist. The interesting thing about Ready Player One is that it's a teen protagonist, so it sort of fits into the category of YA, but it has a, you know, obviously if you've read the book, it has some more adult themes, but also it's sort of marketed to those of us that are older. So it was a YA book written for an older audience and sort of nostalgic to our youth. But the format is like the format of a teen going through sort of a hero's journey type thing. That's very classic YA structure. It was just,
and I wouldn't have thought of it that way, but yeah, you're exactly right. That really is that kind of a, it is that kind of a structure for that. That is really good. And that's a great book, guys. If you like the movie, the book's even better. So
true story.
Say that. And also, I mean, and Harry Potter, of course, would be.
It's classic.
Probably our now classic young adult lit. Historic young adult lit was.
Is that Mark a category Wayne, now?
A little bit of Huckleberry Finn or what? Classic young adult lit?
Funny. There actually is sort of this like idea. Is there quote classic YA that we think of from our youth? Things like A Wrinkle in Time are often the book that comes up. It's those books that you read that, you know, didn't really fit one way or another into the time that you were reading.
Like the magic. I remember my son with the magic toll booth was right between that elementary and middle school, which kind of it depended on what you were doing. It kind of depended on his reading level or your reading level, things like and Wrinkle in Time and things like that. So always good. And I do think there are some classic young adults. I mean, I don't think maybe we think of them as much now because it's become such a book becomes a movie. But yeah, I would think that too. And
for
I do have to ask because it is, some people will be asking this, would Twilight be considered young adult or would it be considered?
It's young adult.
It is young adult. It's
it
not
is
like
young
urban
adult.
Fantasy.
It's not urban fantasy. You know, it's actually interesting that you bring up urban fantasy because there is some a little bit of crossover. I think the perfect example right now in urban fantasy YA crossover is actually Cassandra Clare's Shadowhunters world of books.
Oh, okay.
So the Shadowhunter series is very urban fantasy in styling, but it is teen protagonists. So it's marketed and sold as a YA book, but the show actually, at least from DragonCon standpoint, the show is actually covered by urban fantasy because it has a wide reaching urban fantasy audience. So this year at the convention, while Shadowhunters is super, super hot right now, we're going to be talking about Shadowhunters and all of its books. And the urban fantasy track is actually having a panel on the show.
Well, that's good. But you know, that actually, I like how that kind of breaks. That's actually a neat little way to break it too.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's a good way to sort of split the difference on that topic. Yeah.
Very cool.
Now you
and John, who doesn't read, he's going to have to come up with a question now. Your turn.
Well, I'm going to go to the events. So you guys host a bunch of events throughout the obviously throughout the con. But your big one is the Yule Ball, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I would say our biggest event that we host is the Yule Ball. That's every Sunday night at Dragon Con. So the Yule Ball is, it's not really a ball. We call it the Yule Ball because it's in reference to Harry Potter. They have a big dance and it's the Yule Ball. So it's sort of Harry Potter flavored. We decorate in Harry Potter theming, but it's really just a big like 80s, 90s now top pop dance party. We start.
I like how you said 80s, 90s now, top pop.
I think it's big to differentiate, you know, something feedback that we get back sometimes every year is a couple different people said to us last year that they wish that they knew ahead of time what kind of music would be played at all the, you know, there's parties every night, multiple parties. And I think some of the feedback was, you know, we really wish that we knew what kind of music before we stood in a long line. Is this going to be something that we're into? You know, right now there's, I think, a lot of offerings for like techno and heavy dance music. And we really want to keep the flavor light and poppy and sort of true to the young adult theme. So if, you know, that kind of super high energy, like, you know, top 40s is your jam, then the Yule Ball is where you want to be.
There you go.
Yeah. I think something that's interesting about the Yule Ball too, sort of as a separate thing. So we actually start a little bit earlier. A lot of big dances start at 10. We actually start at 8:30. And we do that so that we can include those kids and teens that want to come and have a nice big sort of dance party atmosphere. So, you know, we start at 8:30. We let all the kids come in, including adults, and, you know, really have a nice fun dance party. At 9:30, we do a costume showcase because we really want everyone to come in their young adult cosplays and want everyone to get a chance to show off their cosplay and lots of people to get pictures taken. But then at 10 o'clock, we sort of say time for the kids to go to bed, and it becomes adult only after that. And we jam adults only till 2 a.m.
Wow. So 2 a.m. you go long.
Wow. We do go long.
Young adults are like staying up forever. Oh my goodness.
You know, we like to have fun. And, you know, I think it's a good way for us to sort of, you know, give something to our, you know, young readers that, are, you know, want to be there. But then also we have lots of adult readers, including our staff. And so, you know, we want to be able to have a little bit of an adult party too. So we sort of try to blend it together.
That's awesome.
Now you also have a trivia contest?
Yeah. So we do team trivia every year. Last year we did a little bit different. We did a whole Harry Potter themed trivia. This year we're going back to our normal trivia, which is just general YA themed. It has filled our room every single year. Last year, of course, being Harry Potter trivia, it was ridiculous. But even when it's regular YA trivia, we fill the room. And so we are very excited that we're going to get a bigger room this year. So we do our trivia. I know. We do our trivia on Saturday at 10 p.m. And we're going to be in Hilton 309 to 312 this year. So there'll be tables. It's groups of six. If you've ever played team trivia, it's a very similar format. You know, we've got little small prizes for our top three teams. And it's just a really great event. And our volunteers work really hard to put together some, you know, good, tough questions to make it difficult.
Ooh.
Yeah.
John, I don't think they have your little book.
They don't have my crappy trivia cards over here. No?
Hey, I mean, if you've got some good questions, you are welcome to forward.
No,
them
he doesn't.
I have no good questions.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, no good questions.
No.
We also, you know, speaking of doing events, you know, we like to sort of have one sort of event every night. So we do actually have a Friday night event too. We do Death Eater. Are you a Death Eater? And it's basically a Harry Potter themed version of Mafia. So, you know, if that's your thing and you just like to hang out and play in circles and, you know, play with other people, we do that on Friday nights at 8:30, and that goes until 11:30. We have two blocks saved for that. And that's actually in the Hyatt in International South. We have a big room for that too, because that one is usually packed as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. You also have some guests this year, right?
We do. We have, I know, we're very excited from a media guest standpoint to welcome back Jason Isaacs.
Who's he? I haven't heard of him. Who is this guy?
Who is Jason Isaacs? Oh my gosh. He's Lucius Malfoy from the Harry Potter movies.
Lucius
Malfoy. We actually,
he doesn't have the long blonde hair, folks. Just FYI, if you're expecting that.
No, let's be honest.
Little, let's be together. He does not have that long blonde hair. But
he does not.
He is kind of awesome, though.
In my opinion, I think he is more attractive without the long blonde hair.
Oh, I do too. I agree with you. Oh, yeah.
You know, we are super excited. We only have him for one panel this year. He has been busy this year because he's also here as a Trek guest with Star Trek Discovery, which is super exciting for them. And I'm a fan. I'm a Trek fan, too. So I'm excited about that. So we're going to have him on Friday at 11:30, and he's going to be in the Marriott Imperial Ballroom with us. And he's going to be talking about Harry Potter, but also about his other roles, too. It's a solo panel. He really does a great job of answering people's questions. So I really hope that our fans are going to have a good time talking to him this year.
Yeah, Well, I've seen him twice at two different conventions, not actually at Dragon Con, because I never actually get to go see any of the guests at Dragon Con. Much like a director, even though I'm not really doing that, I just never get to any of the big rooms.
He helps other directors, though.
I help other directors. You do
panels, and you come and help other people.
I know. But he is so entertaining, and he's so nice. He's incredibly super nice.
Yeah. He is just so nice.
And he's just fun to listen to. And, he gets it that, you know, what he's, you know, what the people want to see and, you know, and he's pleasant to everyone. Do you have some late night programming besides the dance that goes until 2 o'clock in the morning for some reason?
Yeah. 2 a.m. Oh my goodness.
Listen, we like to party hard. So
I'm glad.
our latest panels are usually our events. So our mm-hmm. Death Eater panel on Friday is the latest. Like I said, it goes through 11:30. And then Saturday, our trivia doesn't start till 10. So that goes through 11. And actually, I think I have 2 time slots for that one. So that one will go till like midnight. And then, of course, Sunday is the Yule Ball, which is our latest thing. So I think we have a little bit of late, not too late, not like some of the other tracks, but we have a tendency to start early. So, kind of catch like 5 minutes of sleep in between, can get. Not much at Dragon Con.
So tell us your Dragon Con story. How did you become director? What is the, how'd you get involved in Dragon Con? When was your first Dragon Con, if you can remember?
So, I can't even remember when my first Dragon Con was. I started coming when I was a lot younger, and I would sort of come for a year or come on just on Saturday. And then, I took some time off and missed like 3 years. And then in college, I went by myself. And then I started bringing my husband, my now husband, with me 10 years ago. And 10 years ago is when we sort of really started hitting the volunteer game. So this is my 10th Yay. Year as a volunteer. Yeah, 10. Woo-woo, big 10.
Woo-woo.
And so my first year actually was in the art show. I was looking to sort of get my hooks in anywhere I could. And art show needed help with load in, load out. And it was a great year. I got to put in all my hours before and after the con, really. And when I wasn't doing art show, I was in the young adult lit room because I've always been such a huge fan of young adult lit. And then I really got to know everybody there, and I jumped ship and joined the young adult lit trek the next year. For the last seven years, I was the second or assistant director, quote, not really a director, but a second to Bev, who was previously the director for Young Adult Lit since its start as a track. So I was really, really lucky to get to work with her and learn from her sort of how this whole directorship is supposed to go. You know, Bev actually transitioned to a new role within the convention, sort of a more superior role. And so I transitioned into the role of director, which is super exciting for me. And now she's off, you know, living in American Samoa because of her husband's job. So now I don't even get to see her this year, and I'm terribly sad about it. But I feel like she has left me with a really good foundation. And so transitioning into the role of director this year has really been smooth. I really feel grateful that she left such a solid rock mm-hmm. for me to, stand on.
That's super cool.
She was great with that. But you've been so involved in it for so long. It was a really nice, you last year took over a lot of the duties.
I did. Officially. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's been a very nice transition. You both have the same kind of, you want to support what people want to do and that. And that's wonderful. I'm so glad for you.
Oh,
and
thanks.
10 years. Oh my God. 10 years.
I know. Woohoo. This is the big 10. That means next Woo. Year I get a fancy little, what do I get for 10? Is it a pin again? I got a pin for 5.
I know you get a 10. I know you do get I got a pin, but remember they're changing everything now. I don't know. I got a really pretty pin. It was kind of, I want to say it was like gold, silverish. But yeah. I can't remember what else it is.
Well, something fun. Okay. So we'll get something fun this next year. So I'm excited. I'm hoping year 10 is going to be the best year yet.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's going to be awesome.
So,
excited.
So what other fan panels do you have? I know we talked a little bit beforehand about the diversity track and how it's starting to influence other tracks as well.
Yeah, so we're super excited about having the diversity track. You know, with Young Adult Lit, Young Adult Lit in general, and the Young Adult authors are super active, both on various platforms of social media, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And one big thing that there is really big in Young Adult Lit is the movement called We Need Diverse Books. So we really want to help support more diverse authors in Young Adult Lit. So I'm excited because I'm really hoping that this diversity track is going to help bring us more diverse, you know, guests for our fans as well. This year, we are doing a couple of different panels that are sort of diversity related. We are doing our LGBTQIA and YA panel that we do every single year. That's Saturday at 1 in our track room, which is Marriott A707. That panel is always full. We give out lots of book recommendations, and it's a really good place for people to get, you know, to talk about and get lots of recommendations for, you know, diverse books. We also are doing a panel this year on non-Western YA fantasy. I think it was Jimmy Kimmel. Was it Jimmy Kimmel? I think that his like first book club book was Children of Blood and Bone. Which is a YA book that is fantastic. And so we're really looking at wanting to talk about those like fantasy worlds that come from non-Western sources. So we're doing that on Sunday at 11:30 in our track room. And then actually a new panel that we're trying this year, we're going to see, you know, like I said, the YA community is really active on social media and everything about sort of social issues in general. And so we actually are having a panel on Young Adult Lit and social change, and talking about have any of these books or interactions like impacted how you see the world and how you want to be in the world. And we're doing that on Saturday at 2:30. So we're excited about that too. We're sort of branching into new things and giving it a shot.
That's cool.
Very cool. Yeah. I do like that. That's a great thing to bring into that for the diversity and to see, you know, how to bring that with the books, especially because there are so many out there and they aren't all Western books. There are a lot of, you know, I would even say Life of Pi, which is kind of a young adult. I would think that's young adult.
Yeah, for sure.
So there you go.
I think so. I think that there's a lot, and there's beautiful stories to be told of, you know, with mythology that are, you know, woven from other parts of the world. And, you know, these are stories that I think we could use more of. And, you know, of course, we want to be able to share the ones that are currently out with our fans so that they can broaden their book horizons as well. Yeah.
There you go.
Do you have any just Arthur? Yes, the drunk guy from the
movie. That's a good one for a young adult. Yeah, good job.
Author specific panels that you're doing.
We do. We have one author specific panel, and it's book club. So we do a book club every year. We encourage our fans to read ahead. We've been posting about it on social media. Our book this year is Cold Bath Street by AJ Hartley, who we love. He's a repeat author for us. He's here like every year that I can remember, and he is fantastic. And this is a new YA book. It's a paranormal book. And we're excited because it's been a while since we've had a paranormal book for book club. A lot of times we've done a lot of space recently and some high fantasy retellings. So this is new for us, and we're super excited to have him come and talk about his book. And of course, you know, if anyone wants to join us, it's Cold Bath Street, and that's Sunday at 2:30 in the track room. Yeah.
Speaking of the track room, where is it located?
So that's Marriott A707. Basically, if you're walking into the Marriott and, you know, when you're approaching the Habit Trails, you can go left to go to the food court, or you go right to go to the Hyatt. You just keep going straight. And we are back there right next to Star Wars. So easy to find us as long as you just keep going straight.
Just keep going straight. And the good news is that the Blood Drive is not there anymore.
That is true.
It is much easier to get to them and to Star Wars and to KT moved.
Puppetry.
But Puppetry, right.
Yeah, so they're all across right the hall from us. Yeah. No, the blood drive is so fantastic, but it definitely hit us a little bit.
Yeah, we haven't even really talked about the blood drive. Do give blood if you can. It's a wonderful thing, and it's absolutely needed all the time. The problem, and everybody wants to give, which is great. We have a wonderful, wonderful community that did give, but it was really hard to get to those tracks if the blood drive was there. So, but that's not a bad thing because we've also put them in a better space too. They are now, aren't they in the Sheraton now? They're in the
I think they're where gaming used to be. No, that's all the art.
Cartoon. I'll look it up. You keep talking. I'm looking it up.
Animation. Thank
you. Because we do want you to give blood too, because we need blood.
We do.
Because we also kick that West Coast Con's butt every year on how much blood we give versus them. So
And I'm definitely team Life South. I really like Life South as our blood drive sponsor. Oh, they're awesome.
And they dress up and they give you a t-shirt.
I know, they're so excited. Well, while you're looking up where the blood drive is, I can tell you a little bit more about some of our panel offerings.
Sounds great.
That's why, we always go on different tangents. Come on. But yes, we do want to get back to that one.
Yeah, no. Well, so something that I think is awesome that we do. So we actually have two writing-based panels. Obviously, there's the writer's track, and they're fantastic. But we do like to sort of give our track fans a little bit of a YA-focused panel for writing, because a lot of the people that come to our panels are really, in love with YA, but also kind of want to write and get excited about writing. So we are offering two writing panels this year. We usually do two. Our sort of focuses this year are on plotting and then on how to build yourself a YA brand. And like I said, with YA authors being super active on social media and everything, there's going to be a lot of talking about like how to build yourself up. Which I think a lot of our fans are really going to appreciate this year. So we're doing that. And then let's see other things that we're doing. We are talking about, like I said earlier, Shadowhunters. We're having a fan panel on the Shadowhunters books.
Yep.
I'm super excited about this. We are having a graphic novels and comics in YA panel. And we have a whole panel full of comic book artists.
Ooh.
I am.
That's awesome.
I know. I'm super excited. You know, graphic novels are often sort of grouped into their own category. But a lot of people, especially what we like to sort of call reluctant readers, have trouble getting into books sometimes. And usually graphic novels are sort of a bridge to that, to help those people that are maybe not as excited about reading a novel or a little more intimidated about reading a novel for whatever reason, get interested in reading and reading stories through graphic novels and comics. So we've got some fantastic comic book authors. And to tag back to Ready Player One, which we very briefly talked about, we are doing a cyberpunk and technology and YA panel this year, which I'm stoked about. Yeah. So we are going to talk about Ready Player One. We're also going to talk about Warcross, which I think is my personal favorite sort of cyberpunk book this year in young adult lit. So that's going to be good. We're going to talk about hacking and video games and sort of that immersion. We've got some lit RPG guests that are coming in to talk on that panel as well. So I think we've got a pretty diverse offering of panels this year. I'm super excited.
That is very cool. And the blood drive is in the Hyatt, just FYI, as we're saying this. It is in the Hyatt on the conference room level. So
yes, and go give blood.
And go give blood. And then go to a YA lit and talk about cyberpunk, because that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yay!
Oh, guys, hello. The app was released.
Oh, what? No, it wasn't.
Oh, is it? Oops.
Yes.
No, you're lying.
I'm not.
I'm going in.
It's been like punked, right? Everybody's been like, oh, when's the app? When's the app going to start? It's now, guys. We have the app.
And the schedule has already changed. No, just kidding.
Well, actually, I have to email somebody tonight. So, yes.
So, it probably will be changed.
So, the schedule will change. But, you know.
Yep. Dragon Con 2018 right here, baby.
Hey.
Download it. Downloading the updates. Woohoo.
Everybody's most awaited update.
There you go.
Hey, I'm excited about the app. Although I already got a text being like, is the app different than what you told me before? No, it's not.
No. Well, actually, I will say that I have what I just noticed one thing that I thought had gotten moved and didn't. So I have to talk to somebody else before we can move it, but it'll be okay. It'll all handle.
Was it?
Hey, we're all right.
It'll be all right.
All right. All right. You what? Guys, we got 8 days. A lot can change in 8 days. Don't
That's
worry.
True.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, less as you hear this, but yes. Probably 7 as you hear, 6 as you hear this one.
Right.
Yeah, but it's coming up. It's right around the corner. By the way, get your tickets. Get your airline tickets now if you haven't.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I can't believe it. It's right around the corner. And you know what? I've sort of reached this level of zen. Like,
yeah, I have to. I'm trying to get there. Yeah. It's okay.
I'm like, it's going to be great. I've got like, I'm like the person sitting there at the room that's on fire.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. This is fine. Everything's fine. Don't
Everything is
it.
Fine.
It just popped into my head, and I want to like to remind us folks, especially when it's a track that's more geared towards younger folks. If you're under 16, right? Is that how that works?
Yep, that's correct.
Under 16, there has to be an adult with you. You can't just drop them off in the young adult lit track room and say, have a nice day.
You cannot.
Yeah, they're not babysitters.
You can't drop them off in the KT track room and say, have a nice day either. Or
I mean,
any track room like that.
No, if you're going to drop a kid off, drop them off in video gaming. So, because what we want to see is, we want to watch what Kevin does to your kid and what kid you get back when
Good luck.
After he's done with them.
Godspeed.
Yeah. You're giving them to Kevin. Oh, that'll be good. Yeah. No. Don't do that, people. Don't, because he'll give them an espresso and
Grim
a puppy. Maybe two puppies.
Grim,
you never know.
Grim will destroy that child.
Yes. Hey, be careful. Don't do it.
And you know what? I think at 16 and everything. A lot of the stuff, at least my friends that have kids that are, you know, a little bit older, you know, they're getting them into the same things, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
I remember growing up watching Star Trek with my dad. And that was like our thing. We always watched Star Trek. And, you know, so I've never brought my dad to Dragon Con. I think he's a little intimidated by all the people. But let me tell you, he is all about Star Trek. And that's something that we would have done together. Oh. Like, when I was younger.
Oh, yeah. I have brought my mom. And she, first of all, didn't realize that being a volunteer meant we worked. That was really funny. She goes, I just thought you were just here kind of playing around. And she was like, you're working. I'm like, yes, Mom. I've just been saying this for like, at that point, I think it was like at 10 years or 15 or whatever. I was like, yes, Mom, I've just been saying this for 10 years. I know you didn't really believe that. But the other thing is it is interesting. You know, we're at 82,000 now. When I started, just one hotel in 1996. So, you know, some of us have grown up and we're had our own little geeks and raising our own little geeks. And some of us had our little geeks already. And now they're making more little geeks. And it's always good. It's always, there's just, yay, more. That's why we keep getting bigger. That's why
the geek cycle continues.
The geek cycle continues. We are passing those on. Well, it's kind of like what you said earlier about reading Harry Potter to your kids. I mean, we read Harry Potter. We read a great book called The Tales of Despero. Or my husband read it.
Yeah, that is good.
It's a great little book. And he read that. And we read Harry Potter to him. And he's actually right now rereading the series at 19. He's just like, I want to do a reread. I'm like, yeah, have fun with it. But yeah, it is that we bring them in. And they then will find their own stuff.
True.
My son goes to the rave, as I've said. And I'm like, I don't get it, but have fun with it. But then, you know, he also likes the robotic stuff and and he likes Star Trek and Star Wars and all that. So it's always fun. And they find new things. And this is great.
Yeah.
And he's introduced me to stuff that's new. I'm like, oh, I did. Oh, wow. That's really kind of cool. He got me hooked on The 100, the TV show.
So that's awesome.
I blame him. Well, I blame him on that.
I think that's part of what's so amazing about Dragon Con is that there literally is something for every shade of geek that you want.
Everybody.
My husband and I have totally different styles. You know, we have a couple things that we like together. We watch Game of Thrones together, but in general, our like con interests are super spread, and he can go do his things. I can go do my things very infrequently when I get to leave the track room, but
right.
I try to at least one time the convention leave the track room to do something, you know, other words.
I'm proud of you.
I try. Well, you know what it was? It's always, what it had always been before was anything related to Grimm. And now Grimm is gone and I am sad.
I know, Melissa.
I'm so sad. It's I was like, okay, guys, I can't be scheduled during a Grimm panel. I gotta go.
And the Grimm panel, when we had the guests, they were awesome. They were they were really funny, and we hope they come again at some point. I get it, because you do. You try to find things like that. Like, my husband is a huge game person. He loves games. I'm not a real big gamer. There's a lot of board games and Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that. I don't. My son has followed in his footsteps, and that's great. But my son also does video games, where neither one of us are really big video gamers. So it's all that. And I think it's so good, because at Dragon Con, you find new things, and you get to find your old loves as well. You get to go talk about Harry Potter books, and you get to go talk about the original series Star Trek when there was nothing like it on TV, you know, but then we also get to see things like Grimm and the wonderful stuff of that. So I'm like you. I love it. I love how it's just, we're moving across it, and we're bringing in more and more people, and we're talking more and more about, let's making sure that this is a fully inclusive, all of our family members, all of our extended geek family, is everybody's there. And I'm thrilled with it.
Me too. I think it's great. I think I'm super happy for Jill and Kaleidoscope Track. I think she's doing great things. I'm super excited for the stuff she's got planned this year. We're co-supporting her on a Harry Potter drawing panel that I think is going to be great. And I'm glad that she's there to really help hone those littlest geeks, so that when they become teens, they can come hang out with us.
Well, you know, and you start forming them early. You know, you kind of do them like, it's okay. You know, it's like the first fandom's free. You want some Transformers? I got some Transformers. Hey, My Little Pony. Yeah.
So you're condoning drugging kids? Is that what I'm hearing? What's going on?
I'm not drugging them. I'm just kind of I'm giving them. You know, it's the first kind of fandoms they get into is that kind of stuff, and you're like, that's great, because it leads in other stuff. Yeah, and I think that's wonderful. And I also like, and I just brought up My Little Pony, and I know this is totally off topic, but I do like it. I think it's also, there's so many fandoms that have this group that go across it. It's not, My Little Pony isn't all kids, folks. There are a lot of guys that like My Little Pony. And if you have watched that show, it's trippy, because my niece loves it. And I watched it with her, and I was like, I get it a little more now. I do. This is a little trippy, and it's interesting. And it is funny, and it's, you know, there's two levels of humor sometimes, and you're just like, I get it. I get it now. I get why there are so many people that love this show. I get it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great way, too, you know, things that are more targeted, things like Star Wars Rebels.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I think that's awesome, you know, and it really lets kids sort of get their taste of Star Wars earlier when they might not be ready to sit down and watch, you know, the original.
Oh, no. They aren't, because my nephew has watched all of at least the first Star Wars. The first one that just came out, like the Force Awakens.
Yes.
He has watched it all repeatedly in about 20-minute segments at a time. So, you know, he'd watch the first 20 minutes, and then he goes away, and then he'll come in the middle and all that. And he just keeps doing it because he's five. He doesn't have the attention span to watch a 2-hour movie. But he's seen it all, and he'll tell you the story. He knows the story. But, you know, they don't watch it like that. So, yeah, something like Clone Wars and the Rebel show and all of that have been really great for them, because he loves it. He absolutely loves it. He can't watch, you know, certain things anymore because he kicks his sister in the face, but that's okay.
You know, that's fine. Well, and actually, they even have a YouTube series, Star Wars Forces of Destiny, which is all about like kick butt girls. And it's a cartoon series. My daughter loves it. In fact, her bedroom bedspread is Forces of Destiny, like Leia and Rey and, you know, tough girl power, teaching that young. I approve that.
I'm going to have to go look for this, because I had not heard of it. So I'm like, my niece needs to get into this. Yes. That'll be great. Thank you.
Forces of Destiny.
Forces of Destiny. Got it.
Now,
that's awesome.
Before we let you go.
Yeah.
We like to play a game.
Oh, no.
Yes. So we always like to play a game with our guests. Now, I'm actually going to give you.
Nervous.
I'm going to do something.
These are terrible.
I'm going to give you. Questions. I'm going to give you a choice. I haven't done this for anybody. We can either do Family Feud Disney, or we can do Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, I'm down for Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit. All right. 100%.
All right. So that's what we're going to do. This is
this is really a Harry Potter.
This one is actually pretty decent.
Okay. Thank you. This will be real fun. It's one of those pie
wedges. And so what I'm going to do is it'll be you against Lee. Because obviously I guess I could play because the answers are on the back. All right. We'll do. and I'm rolling a dice to see which color you get,
let's see what color.
So let me put my playful.
Playful.
Okay. Well, it's going to be different each time. So you're going to go first, Melissa.
Okay.
All right. And we come up with yellow. I'm not sure what yellow category is. It's tiny, tiny print. I'm getting old is what it says.
Wear your glasses. Are you wearing your glasses?
I am wearing. Magical People is yellow. Okay.
Ooh, magical people.
Which Ministry of Magic employee does Hermione impersonate when the trio infiltrate the ministry? Which Ministry of Magic employee does Hermione impersonate?
Okay. I know the person played, but I can't remember her name.
I know. Hold on. I'm like...
This one's actually difficult.
I know. Well, this isn't even that difficult. This is embarrassing. I'm like,
I think this is really difficult, but okay.
No. Oh my gosh. Why is my brain? Oh my God. This is terrible. I'm getting disowned.
No, you're not.
Mathilda Hopkirk.
That is correct.
What?
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, look, I was sitting here like going through my list in my head.
I remember she worked for Umbridge.
I didn't know.
But yeah, okay.
I can tell you who Harry Potter is, and I think that's about the extent of this. All right, Lee, it's your turn. Uh-huh. Green on this card, they're always the same, but green is, can you make it the print any smaller? I think it's magical creatures. I think that's what it is.
Oh, okay.
What type of creature grabs Harry's hand when he tries to take water from the lake to give Professor Dumbledore in the Horcrux cave?
Oh, those are the things that are under the water and it grabs his hand.
Well, that's literally what's in the question. So yes,
I know. No, they're in the water. I see them. They're white and they're shimmery and they're terrifying. And they are,
I would have gotten this wrong. Cause you need the specific name for this.
I know. And I can't, see, I'm not good at this part.
I would have just said skeleton guy.
kind of what I want to go with is just kind of like they're actually just demons, but they're not. But that's
they do. They have a name, and of course, this one I knew right away.
Inferi. That's it. Aha!
I'll give it to you. All right, now me. It's yellow, which is magical. Which is people, right? Is that what we said?
People.
Yeah. People. Yellow is people.
How many? Now I don't know if it's correct. How many brothers does Ron have? Now I got to think about this. One, four. He has four brothers, right? He has five brothers.
He has five.
Two of them that we don't really see: Charlie and then Bill.
Yeah,
and then Percy.
I forgot about Bill. The twins. I forgot about Charlie. Actually.
You forgot Bill. You forgot Charlie.
I remember Charlie, Bill.
Forget Charlie or
Charlie's
Bill.
The hard one. Charlie's the difficult one, right? Because he's the one that's like least involved in anything. He's the one that's off like working with dragons.
Right.
He's the one working with dragons, and the only time you really hear about Charlie is when he's there for the dragons in the Goblet of Fire.
Yes, for the Triwizard Tournament.
Yeah, right. He brings the mean one.
Right? Bill gets a little more love because, he's like comes and get involved and he's doing
and he gets the big thing on his face and he gets attacked
and Fleur still loves him, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Yes. Everybody loves Bill.
Yes.
All right. Melissa, back to you. It's blue and that's Hogwarts, apparently.
Okay. Blue. Hogwarts.
In which of Harry's school years does Professor Snape finally get to teach Defense Against the Dark Arts?
Okay, that is... Okay, let's see.
Which of Harry's
years? What year for Harry?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Six is correct.
Oh, see, I was thinking it was five. Okay, cool. Good.
Yep. I had to count in my head. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And I was like...
Okay, you got Purple Lee, and it's the Dark Arts.
Ooh.
Ooh, the dark arts.
Igor Karkaroff?
Karkaroff.
Okay. The guy from Durmstrong. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Offers up the names of Rosier, Rockbrook, Snape, and which other Death Eater at his trial when Harry sees through the pensive?
Barty Crouch.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say, I need further clarification.
Right. I had to play it out, John. Come on, man. I love
Junior.
All right. Here we go. Blue, which is Hogwarts for me. What phrase is etched into Harry's hand during his detention with Professor Umbridge? Actually, I don't know. See, I'm horrible at this. All my kids can answer it. And I even have my banner hanging up behind me, too.
What's your house?
I got it.
Do you know what it is?
I shall not tell lies, right?
It's I must not tell lies.
That's right. You're correct. Lies. Yes.
And to answer the house question, I'm Gryffindor.
Oh, you're Gryffindor. Right, okay. That makes sense.
Makes sense, doesn't it? My daughter's roommate, because this all worked out really well, because we got a Target that had these nice banners. They're like,
I'm going to have to go and see these. That sounds awesome. 4 feet
tall or something. But the my daughter is Ravenclaw. My son is Hufflepuff. And my daughter is rooming with a Slytherin. At college. She just started college. So she brought, because we had the fourth one, because none of us are Slytherin in our family. She brought that for her. So they have them hanging up in their dorm.
What's your wife? Hufflepuff or?
She's
a Ravenclaw or Gryffindor?
Hufflepuff. I think.
She's a Huffle? Oh, okay.
I think.
I like Hufflepuff. I like them all. Yeah.
I like them all. Hufflepuff is great. They're so sweet. They like cookies.
Everybody likes cookies.
I mean, but Hufflepuffs especially like cookies. Their common
room. Oh, really?
Their common room is right next to the kitchens.
Oh, that's right. Because I remember that in one of the books. Yeah. Okay. Melissa, I like having this. This is fun. I like this, John. This is a good set. We like this set.
this one's legit. So,
yeah, it's a real set. Yay, yeah. John!
Magical objects. By the way, I don't know if you know this. I didn't buy it, but I almost did. There is also a supernatural version of this.
Hey, that's awesome.
Oh Lord, really?
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, it's 14 years, right? I mean, it's some ridiculous amount of.
It's been for yeah. We're only going to do this for like 4 or 5 years. Uh-huh.
Melissa, magical objects is actually yours.
Okay, magical objects.
I think that's what it says, but again, the print is so tiny. What does Ron see when he looks into the mirror of Ezrid? Ezrid? Ezrid.
Erised.
Erised. See,
it's actually desire spelled backwards is what Erised. It's the mirror of desire.
No, I didn't really.
he sees himself winning the house cup and he's head boy and...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and he's Quidditch. Perfect. Quidditch captain. Quidditch captain Thanks. Is the only thing added to that. Yeah. But yes, yeah, you got it.
Quidditch captain.
Yeah. Lee, let's see. Reddish. What is that? Pink. I guess that's pink. Which is not one that we haven't had yet. Which is magical spells and potions.
Ooh,
what is the effect of the incendio spell? Incendio. That's what
incendio.
Yeah, my kids can pronounce all this stuff. I have no idea.
It starts fire.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
By the way, I've gotten zero answers correct here.
Okay, here sorry.
Yellow.
It's okay.
Who is the only one of the three brothers from the Tale of the Three Brothers to voluntarily present himself to death during old age? Oh, my Lord. It was the one with the cloak. That's the only thing I know, right?
That's what I know, but I don't know. I know he had a name, but I have no idea what the brother's name was.
It says the third or the youngest. Yeah.
That's okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I didn't get it anyway.
It was, he's Ignatius, the third Ignatius. One.
Oh, really?
Wait, you know, why didn't you say you got that? You said it's the one with the cloak and we know the cloak is the last one.
Right. But I didn't know which one. I didn't know what order they went in.
Oh,
I'm being honest.
Okay. I thought you knew that. Sorry.
I'm a Gryffindor. What was Grindelwald's first name?
Gellert.
Gellert is correct. It's 4 points. We got one more after this one. So let's see. Lee.
Uh-huh.
Lou. Which Ravenclaw schoolmate from Hogwarts do Harry and Ron find imprisoned in the dungeon and the Dungeons of Malfoy Manor, which Hogwarts.
Luna Lovegood.
That is correct.
That's who Ron should have ended up with.
I agree. I agree with that. Yeah.
Thank you.
You don't think that Harry should have wound up with her? I think that Harry should have wound up with her.
No, I think Harry and Hermione should have been together. Harry and Hermione. Oh. I'm a huge. Mm. Oh, no, wait. So, wait. Then who are you got Hermione with?
I don't, you know, Hermione's difficult for me. I think Hermione's too good for them both.
Well, first of all, yeah, she is too good for everyone in the world, but she is the most beautiful and wonderful person in the whole wide world. Yes. I would agree with that.
Yeah. I think she's too good.
Yeah. All right. So, this one's for me. Who hides the... this is a blue, which is what? Hogwarts, yeah. Okay. Who hides a textbook belonging to the Half-Blood Prince on behalf of Harry? Oh, it's who Harry wound up with, right? Ginny. Right? Am I right?
I don't think so.
Ginny. Yeah, it says Ginny Weasley.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He does give it to Ginny. That's right.
She hid the book. Well, I don't know if she did on his behalf. Didn't she just, take it?
Book. Don't use it. That's right.
Okay. Yeah, she just took it. No, whatever. Mm-hmm. Hey, I got one. Hey, I got one.
Yay!
I'm not going to go very down. Very God for you, John. Where are the rest of the cards? Oh, they're there. They're right in front of me. Orange.
Orange. Have we had an orange?
Magical objects.
Okay.
What is the name of the red letter that bears an angry message as sent by Miss Weasley to Ron?
A howler
is correct.
I wish those of all the things, man, those being real would be awesome.
Right. Yeah.
As a parent, green. I'm just sitting here going like, oh, man.
Oh, this is too easy. I should get this one.
My kids all the time.
I didn't say I didn't yell, but boy, oh boy, a howler would be even better.
Yeah. All right.
So, I'm sorry, John. What's my question?
It's way too easy. How can a house elf be freed?
To give them clothes.
Give them clothes is correct. All right. So Master now this last one is just for my honor.
Given Dobby a stock.
Who opened the Chamber of Secrets 50 years before Harry's second year at Hogwarts? Who? That was Tom, wasn't it? Tom Riddle. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. It was Tom Riddle. It was not Hagrid.
It was not Hagrid, and that big spider, even though he wanted to eat everyone, was not the bad spider. Well, no. It was a bad spider, but
he did end up being a bad spider, but right, you know, but
he wasn't a bad spider because of what Hagrid did.
He's a bad spider because he's a spider. It's really what it is.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to look, you know, I don't like spiders. I am not going to disagree with that in any way, shape, or I do not like spiders.
All right. Yeah. Well, so we end the game with a trouncing of John, with 5-5-2. As the final score. So
so who won? Wait, so
We tied.
Yeah, you got all your questions right, Lee.
We tied because you pulled Inferi out right at the last second.
I do not know how I pulled that. That one's kind of like you pulling out that woman's name. You're like, oh my God, that was crazy.
Oh man, that was terrible. I was embarrassed at how long it took me to remember.
I do not know why you were embarrassed because I didn't know who it was. I had no idea.
I could barely remember that event even occurring. I mean, I know that they snuck into the ministry.
No, I remember it, and I could see her because I remember it was all of a sudden like, oh my God, I have to go work with, you know, the Lord.
Umbridge.
You know?
Yeah.
Umbridge. Oh, that woman. Oh,
she's the worst. She's definitely the worst character in Harry Potter.
She's
worse than Voldemort.
I think she is terrible. It's because she is insidiously evil.
She's just straight up enjoys
it. She's just straight up evil and she enjoys it. I agree with you.
She's got no tragic backstory. She's just evil.
She's just evil and she's opportunistic and she's evil. And yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that people like that are the ones who allow people like Voldemort to take over because they're like, well, it's for the greater good. No, it's not always for the greater good, you boo-boo. But sorry, I'll be quiet now. I'm being good, John. I swear. All right,
so Melissa, let everyone know again where your room is and where they can find more information about your track on the web.
Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, the Young Adult Lit track room is in the Marriott, room A707. It's atrium level. And you can find us on Facebook, just Dragon Con Young Adult Literature. And we are all over Facebook, and our Facebook has links to our other social media. We have a Twitter, we have an Instagram, we have a website that's just our regular website. But Facebook is where we are most active. So hit us up on Facebook.
Cool. All right. So until next time, for Melissa, Lee, this is John saying peace.
Peace.
And bye.
That was fun.
Yes.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.